Good. This is a good decision. Yeah. If somebody has 75 grand and wants to give us just for air conditioning this place, then maybe that's why God brought you here today. So any of our guests? Okay, we're going to start things off as far as the teaching time with having some people stand and then let's honor them. So let's start with those who started to attend Gold Coast at this facility. When you started your relationship with Gold Coast, whenever that was, the first place you came to on a Sunday was this facility that we're in this morning. Stand up. Let's honor them. Look around you and honor them. We love you. We're thankful you're a part of this church. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. How many of you started your experience with Gold Coast at the Boys and Girls Club in Camarillo? That's when you first came to Gold Coast. Look around. There's some back there. Let's honor them. Come on, stand up. Look around. Look around you back there. All right. Have a seat. How many of you started your relationship with Gold Coast at the Camarillo Airport at the Cowan Conference Center? That's when you first started coming. Thank you. God bless you guys. Wow. Look around. That's exciting. And then the last group we want to have stand in honor is those who actually started their experience with Gold Coast in the classroom in the basement of Camarillo Christian Church. That's when you first came to a service. Look around you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Wow. Them were the days. That's exciting. So Pat's back there. Pat, love you, brother. Appreciate all the work and love and service you've given Jesus and his church. And where's my wife? Where's Sharon? Love you, honey. Thank you for everything. This is so much of what God's been doing in my life is through this woman. And I applaud you and I honor you, honey. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness. Faithful you are and faithful you will ever be. Father, thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. Thank you for having a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. Thank you for this place we call Gold Coast and all the things you've done in and for and through this body of believers over the many years now that we've been serving you in this place. So Father, again, you get all the glory. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you continue to do, what you want to do in the future. Father, thank you for everyone who has sacrificed and served and given and contributed over the years. So many are here today, Father. We just pray you'd bless each person, Lord, and continue to grow us deeper and deeper in Jesus, we pray. It all for him. Amen. Well, I did a little research this week and found some things that turned 20 years old in 2019. Crispy M&Ms, Yoplait Go-Gurt, SpongeBob SquarePants, 20 years old. Honored to share a birthday with him, I guess. The Euro, Bluetooth, the USB flash drive. Google wasn't even 1 year old 20 years ago. And no such thing as smartphones. We were all walking around with dumb phones. Some of you still are, maybe. I don't know. The biggest fear 2 decades ago, 20 years ago, you probably can guess it, 1999. Remember what everyone was consumed with? Y2K, right? The thought computers would all fail and networks would crash and the expected world crash and the world would descend into chaos, yeah. Well, a lot has happened and changed in the last 20 years. And if you still don't believe that, Hang around afterwards. There's going to be a slideshow of pictures over our 20 years, and you'll see Pat had hair when we started, and I had more. But it's a good thing to celebrate, right? It's a good, good thing to commemorate and to remember. Some of you know this. My mom's 90 years old. Yeah, that's a good age. But she's on hospice now, and it could be any day. Just talked to my sister a day or two ago. It could be any day. She suffered with Alzheimer's for the last few years, and I guess that's been the toughest thing is she doesn't remember, right? Because in a real sense, remembering is a vital part of life. If you remember well, you live well. So it's a good thing that we can remember. It's a good thing to celebrate what we remember. Many of you know this. The Bible is full of encouragement to us to remember certain events. And God's given us symbols throughout the Bible and the people of the Bible times to remember things, feast days. Read about all the feast days. All those feast days and special days were set aside to remember what God had done, how God had been faithful. The Passover meal was a time of remembrance, right? Deuteronomy 6 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Tie them as what? Symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." Numbers 15. "Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments and to look at them and remember all the commandments of the Lord that they would do them." So God is all about helping us remember and telling us to remember and giving us ways to remember. Another physical item used to cause the people in the Bible to remember and call to mind were stones, like the 12 different stones on the high priest's breastplate representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Remembering that they were God's people was a symbol that they were tied to. Stones of remembrances. Write that down in your outline. If you have your Bibles, by the way, it'd be a good time to open them to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 3 this morning. And the notes are there on your bulletin. If you might open your Bible on your phone app or a physical Bible. If you need a physical Bible, it'd really be helpful. If you don't have it any other way, raise your hand. We got guys who have Bibles and get those into your hands. In Genesis 28, Jacob set up a stone as a pillar, a marker where God had met him. And then we're going to see it later in our time this morning. Joshua also used stones to help God's people remember his goodness to them. Later, Samuel would set up a stone in remembrance. In 1 Samuel 7, it says that when God enabled the Israelites to defeat the Philistines, the prophet Samuel took a stone of remembrance and called it Ebenezer. Say Ebenezer with me. Ebenezer. How many of you wanted to say Scrooge right after that? No. Ebenezer means stone of help. And the prophet said, "I'm setting this up to be a reminder to you that your God has helped you to this point. Thus far, God has helped you." And so Ebenezer means stone of help. And every time they would see that stone placed there by Samuel, it would call to mind, it would be a tangible reminder of the way God had worked in their lives and for their good. Now, this morning, this is metaphorically a stone of remembrance, this celebration of 20 years. It's kind of a stone of remembering that thus far God has helped us. God has been faithful. And that's an exciting thing to be able to say. So we're going to remember some things in the past. And by doing that, it's going to help us have confidence in facing whatever lies ahead. That thus far God has helped us. And so I want you to consider with me this morning not only how God has been working in our lives up to this point, but how he wants to work in the days ahead. And so, if you have your Bibles open to Joshua 3, we get to see God at work and how Israel is told to always remember it. Now, as we come to Joshua 3, some background. The Israelites have been living in the wilderness for how many years before they entered the promised land? 40 years. This is the end of their 40 years, and they're right on the edge of the promised land, right at the edge of the Jordan River, getting ready to go in and occupy the land. And verse 5, let's skip down to verse 5, Joshua chapter 3, first part of your Old Testament, the first few books, you'll find Joshua. And it says there in verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Why? For tomorrow the Lord will do what? Amazing things among you. He says, get ready, get prepared, because tomorrow, not today, tomorrow God's going to do what? Amazing things among you. Now remember, they've already seen some amazing things. God's already delivered them out of Egyptian captivity. He's already led them on dry ground through what sea? The Red Sea. He's already provided manna for them from above to fill their every daily need, right? Some amazing things. And yet God says, hey, get ready, because tomorrow God's going to show you some amazing things. And so we need to be ready to do something new and amazing, because God is ready to do some things amazing and new in our lives and through our lives. God has done some amazing things through Gold Coast Church over the last 20 years. But God is not just the God of yesterday. He's the God of today and the God of tomorrow and the God of forever. And anytime you guys want to say amen throughout this time, feel free to do that. And God wants to continue doing great things in our lives. So number one on your outline, God moves and works when we are open to new things. What new things is God wanting to do in and through your life in 2019 and beyond? What are those things? I don't know what they are for you. I don't know even what they are for our church yet. We're in this thing together and we're just moving. We want to be open, though, to whatever new thing God has in mind. Joshua chapter 3. Now let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. Start with verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites went out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over the Jordan. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. Here's the orders. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Verse 4. Then you will know which way to go. Since, here, catch this, underline this, since you have never, what? Since you've never passed this way or been this way, when? Before. Just something new, something you're not used to. See, when God works in our lives, he does things he's never done in them before. Verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. And that's certainly true for us, both individually and as a church called Gold Coast throughout the years. I remember when God called us to plant Gold Coast. I was happy and I was excited and open to doing something new for God. I could see a church radiating God's love throughout the coastlands of West Ventura County. I saw lives being rescued and restored into right relationship with God, where a place was waiting for those hurting and frustrated and confused so they could find hope and acceptance and forgiveness and guidance and encouragement from God himself through his word and through his people, where the unchurched would be loved into the kingdom, where we didn't just love each other, but those who weren't yet a part of God's family would be audaciously loved with his love. You talk about having to be open to new things as we planted this church. None of our core group had ever planted a church before. So Sharon and I went through some assessment, different assessments and some training for church planting, and that was all new for us. We never didn't have a place to meet and gather together on Sundays. How many of you remember that when we started meeting in the basement classroom? That was the best we could do. We didn't even have that until God opened a door for us to walk through and start meeting there. And it's kind of an amazing thing. After looking and looking and looking for a place to launch on a Sunday morning and now open the church up just to our community and start reaching people like we believe God wanted us to, we kept coming up empty time and time again. We tried to get into schools. Hey, 20 years ago, the schools around here wouldn't let churches use them, right? I don't know if you know that. They're being used a lot now. We tried preschools and elementary schools and junior and senior high schools. They weren't open in California at the time. We tried movie theaters. How many of you heard of churches and movie theaters? Well, 20 years ago, all around the country, other states were allowing churches to do that. Not then, 20 years ago. Right after we launched, a year or two or three, they started opening those up again. They started opening those to churches, but not when we were looking. I guess we were before our time. I don't know. We talked with several different real estate agents, made a bid on a place. The owner wasn't interested. So we scheduled to begin services on September 27th, 1998. You see, our core began to meet January of 98. And we kept preparing so we could launch after a good 9 months of really preparing. You know, that was the kind of the course of action that was being recommended by church planting organizations in the day. And so we were gearing up, and Sharon was expected with Blake in September of 1998, the same time the church was scheduled to launch. And some guy in our church actually came one Sunday with a little drawing he made of Sharon sideways and showing her growing baby bump, projected growing baby bump. And at 9 months is when the baby would come, and that's when Gold Coast would launch. Guess what? September rolled around, still no place, but guess who came? Blake came, but still no place to meet. It was quite an experience, this new territory that God was leading us in. It was pretty amazing. Then, finally, God led us to the Cowan Conference Center on the grounds of the Camarillo Airport. We launched Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, 1999. It was new and exciting. How many of you remember we sang All Things Are Possible that Sunday? Mark, you remember that? Mark Featheroff, right back there, he was in the choir that Sunday. And we were like, I was in the choir that Sunday. I guess everybody was in the choir that Sunday. We were just launching. No banjo, though. To this day. And guess what? It was a new way to launch a church. We launched the church, again, going by what was new at the time, through postcards. We spent a lot of money to blitz the community with postcards. 3 postcards over 3 weeks going out to 40 or 50,000 homes. One was the top 10 reasons why people don't go to church. We had some of those postcards. And guess what? Back then, it worked. It worked. People came and some stayed. I mean, who came? I know the Vukovics came because of a postcard. Jim Foley came because of the postcard. The Wanderers, the Johnsons. And so God worked in that way. But I'm telling you, today that won't work. Why? Because God is always doing new things. And we got to get that through our heads. Never before did we have to set up and tear down every blessed Sunday. I almost said stinking Sunday. But every Sunday, set up, tear down. Guess how many years? We did that for 6 years and 4 months. Sunday after Sunday, George Garcia, God bless your brother, he headed up for a time our setup and tear down. Just for you who are interested, that's 76 months. That's a long time. Besides all the places we were before, we were also holding some preview services at River Ridge Golf Course in their clubhouse. Anyway, this place was new to us. Remember? 14 years ago, this was a new thing. We never had our own 24/7 facility. And remember how joyful we were? How exciting that was for us? And we worked hard and raised money, and we took occupancy on March 1st, 2005. God moves when we are open to new things. And that requires, write this down somewhere, it requires for us to be flexible. God can't do new things if we're inflexible, if we're closed. And so we continue to change, and we continue to add ministries and create new staff positions and new outreach strategies, new partnerships with other churches on our coastal plain who love Jesus and work and pray like we do for his kingdom to come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we pray that, by the way, if you're here on Sundays, almost every Sunday in our services, we pray for every church that loves Jesus and his word on this coastal plain. Because we're always going to try to remain open and flexible to whatever new thing God is going to do. And the best is yet to come. And just like the Israelites at the Red Sea and at the Jordan River, as they walked into something new, we too continue to walk through the new doors that God is opening to us. New partnerships with area churches. I don't know if you know this, but over the last 8-9 months, God has been opening doors for us to pray together as pastors in our city. So every week now, there are up to 12 different pastors and representing 12 different churches and ministries in our community that meet together in this place to pray with each other and for each other. And God is doing, He's moving, He's creating new opportunities for us to serve together like this One City, One Church Serve Day. And prayer gatherings. It's been really exciting. Young Life and Braulio and Christina are part of our staff now. Why? Because we were open to new things and new partnerships with people who we thought we could be better together. And God's, yeah, God, praise God. Praise you, Lord. We've got Pastors Tim and Lewis now, and the Sojourn family, where God says, hey, you guys are working on the same thing. You guys could be better, what? Together. God is about new things. Our facility, we're opening up our facility as God brings people who say, you know, we're a like-minded church, and we want to see people come to Christ, but we don't have a place to meet. Could we use your facility on Sunday afternoons? And we are saying, hey, God's provided it for us. Why don't we open to that new thing? And so we've got a church that meets here on Sunday afternoons. Over the last 12 months, we had some ministries at Calvary Chapel, Oxnard, who needed some space. So we opened up our facility. Because God is always looking for us to be flexible, to move with Him as He opens new doors. And we got to continue that. God says in Isaiah 43, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing, not an old thing, a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And that's why we need to allow God's mercies to be renewed to us morning by morning, as Lamentations 3 says. And so we've learned to move with God and open to new things. So here's the question before we move on to point two this morning, and that is, what new thing is God stirring you up about? You say, maybe nothing. You're going, I don't really know. Well, pray about it. God is always up to something. God's always wanting to move. God's always wanting to grow us, and that means change. Growth means change, and that means flexibility. What new thing is it for our church? What could it be? So we honor the past. We honor the past, but we don't live in the past. We want to go where God wants us to go in the future, right? Maybe for some of us, maybe God's leading us truly to find a different place. This is a great place. We just remodeled this place. But who knows what God has in store? If God brings us across our path a new place for us to be located as far as our gathering times, maybe our own place where we're not paying rent every week, then that would be great. We've got a building fund. We've got money that people have been contributing to it. Maybe we haven't been letting you know about that as much as we should. But maybe you're here today. Let's pass the basket. Why don't we pass the basket right now? Maybe we'll raise enough for the down payment for our own place at a more strategic spot. I don't know. Whatever that is, we got to be open to God leading us every step along the way. So God moves when we're open to new things. Secondly, God moves when we have problems and we're scared. Notice Joshua chapter 3. They had arrived at the Jordan River to cross it. If you read the text carefully, it specifies at flood stage. Now, he could have brought them there when it was really low or during a drought, but that was not God's plan. God brought them there when it was at flood stage. And at that time in history, historians tell us there was no way to safely cross the Jordan at that spot at flood stage. Some scholars say it could very well have been a mile wide, rippling current, crashing water, and 100 feet deep at its lowest spot. And yet, write this down if you're taking notes. Often when God's about to do something great in our lives, He's going to allow us to experience a problem or a challenge. From a human perspective, that was the very worst time for them to cross. But sometimes that's the best time for God to work. Why? Because when they succeed, who's going to get the credit? Not them, God. Who's going to get the applause? Not them, God. Life is a series of problems. Most of you know this and have discovered it by now, right? You're either coming out of a problem, or you're in the midst of a problem, or you're heading into a new problem. That is called life. But did you know that every miracle we read about in the Bible is preceded by a problem? God does amazing things in our lives when we've got challenges, when we've got problems, and oftentimes when we're scared. How many of you have just come out of a problem, or in the midst of a problem, or heading into a problem? Raise your hand. Look around. Okay. You are eligible for a miracle of God. If you don't have any problems, there's no reason for God to work and move, right? I read this week, someone wrote, the Exodus in the Old Testament teaches us several things. First, that wherever you live, it is probably Egypt. Second, that there is a better place, a world more attractive, a promised land that God wants to lead you into. And third, the way to the land is through the wilderness. So we started Gold Coast Church. The group that sponsored us, the Southern California Evangelistic Association, said, hey, we've got $750,000 that we're going to front load into this new church plant. $750,000 20 years ago. I mean, it's a lot today. It was even more 20 years ago, 21 years ago. And we got real excited about that. We said, well, where's it coming from? Well, there's a church in Ventura that's being sold, and we're going to take all the money from that sale. We expect it to be $750,000. We're going to put it into Gold Coast to front load it so that you can have a full staff right off the bat. You can have a leased facility. You can have a full program. Just hit the ground running. We go, yeah, we'll take some of that. Well, the building wasn't selling, and I'd already left the church in Thousand Oaks. Believe God was calling us to start this work, so we started meeting with the core group, and 1 month goes by, they haven't sold the property yet. 2 months go by, they haven't sold the property yet. The price keeps dropping from $750,000 to $600,000 to $500,000 over 3 or 4 or 5 months. And, you know, I'm going like, wow, we just lost $100,000, you know, and I'm doing all the math. Finally, it sells for, let me look at the $468,000. And I got to tell you, I remember going, man, we just lost all that money. We only have that much to do. I mean, do you see what's going on in my mind at that time? Then we're told, well, guess what? That's not all going to you. We found out it's to be divided four equal ways. You guys, we get $117,000. Went, oh, okay. It took a while to get used to it. It's like, how are we going to do a whole big full-on thing? We weren't. I wrote all those other groups and said, hey, the church was in Ventura. We want to see. We think that God wants us to keep that money in Ventura to do a new work. And a Bible college in Tennessee said, no, thank you. We'll keep it. A Bible college down in Southern California said, no, you know, they have millions of dollars. No, we need the money. He's like, okay. The group that sponsored us over the next year or two went belly up because they were way over staffed and administrated, and they used up all the money, the $117,000 that we were supposed to get. One group, the Church Development Fund, said, you know what? We're going to give Gold Coast that our part, $117,000, but you got to use it only for capital expenditures, like equipment. Now, again, is that better than nothing? Yeah. Is it $750,000? Use it the way you want? No. But guess what? That was a problem, I thought. And it was a challenge, and we were stressed. Was God stressed? Was God surprised that happened? No. Why? Because he knows he works best and works through us when we have problems and we're scared. And guess what would have happened had we had all that money? I think we would have used it well. But after everything's said and done, who would get more credit, the money or God? The money. So God moves when we have problems and are scared. Question, class, do we have problems in our society today? Is it a challenge? Is it a challenge, and is it challenging to make disciples in today's world? It's always been, but we kind of feel like it may be harder today. The world is different than it was 20 years ago before 9/11, right? Over the last 20 years, the world has changed, and many Christians seem shocked by the increasing levels of disdain and opposition to their faith. And yet Peter says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you as though something strange were happening to you. I'm telling you, in ways, I got to admit, it's kind of scary trying to make disciples when we feel we don't enjoy the home field advantage anymore in our country, where it seems like secular institutions aren't that friendly to the things of God as they once may have been. In order to make disciples, just like foreign missionaries, though, we'll have to enter the world of non-Christians in order to understand them and connect with them and develop an ability to communicate clearly to them the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 Chronicles 12 says, the men of Issachar, they understood the times and they knew what they should do. We need to be like those guys. We need to be like the Apostle Paul, who says, I learned to become all things to all people so that by doing so, I might win some people to Jesus. So we gotta think like missionaries. We're not called to condemn culture. We're not called to remove ourselves from the world, retreating into a Christian ghetto, a subculture, like monks in a monastery, staying well away from the wider culture because society is sinful and corrupted and hostile to the gospel of Jesus. No, we must become even more a community of grace and truth. And I'm telling you, it's hard to keep those things in balance, but that's the call. Grace and truth. We can't just be full of truth and not let it evidence itself in the grace of Jesus Christ. And we can't be full of just grace and everybody's fine and everybody's honky-dory and at the expense of truth. There are all messes and we need Jesus. He's our only hope. So, God moves when we're open to new things. God moves when we have problems and challenges, and even when we're scared. Lastly, God moves when we take a step of faith and obedience. Verse 8, look at Joshua 3, verse 8. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. What stage is it? Flood stage. You want us to do what? You want us to go stand in the water? Yeah, that's what God said. How many of you would feel good about having your kid go do that? You know, you watch these YouTube things where people get too close to the edge and all kinds of chaos happens. Can you imagine those priests what they were thinking? You're crazy. Or maybe they said, wait, we know about how God parted the Red Sea. I mean, all Moses had to do was raise a staff. Let's just do that. Let's do it the way we did it. Let's do it the way he did it back then. Guess what? God oftentimes doesn't do the same thing twice. Oftentimes God's doing things in different ways. Verse 8, and go and stand in the river. Verse 13, skip down. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of the earth set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Verse 15, again, here's where we read it. The Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. I'm thinking those priests just got only as close as they had to actually get. Maybe just a sprinkle, maybe a drop. But I'm telling you, if you have the faith of what? A mustard seed. God can move mountains. And he can part waters. The water from upstream, get this, stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap. Where? A great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. That's 19 miles upstream it stopped and piled up. Isn't that amazing? Most scholars believe the priest, when they stepped into the water at that point, nothing seemed to happen right then and there. Right? Because the water was piled up in a heap where? It wasn't like God sucked it back, I don't think. I think he kept the waters. And while they did that, they stepped out in faith. And by doing that, that's when God activated what he said he'd do. God moves when we take a step of faith and obedience. That's the last point. Because God is always working upstream. Always. God is always working upstream. Because God knows better than you and I. No. I think how he's been working upstream in my life. I mean, can you stop and think about the ways, different ways God has been working upstream in your life? In some ways, God brought some of you here because he was working upstream in the lives of the people in this church. And when you came in at some point, whenever it was, God connected you with other brothers and sisters in this place, and you felt like, man, God's been working upstream in my life. In my life, 21 years ago or so, maybe before that, a couple years before that, God had been growing in my heart a desire to be a part of something that would focus, a church that would focus on reaching people far from God. It seemed like the churches that I was used to and the ones I was ministering with at different times, they really didn't care that much about the people going to hell outside of Jesus. But one day I was surprised to get a call from this church planning group. A friend had given my name to them, and God had been working upstream. And one conversation led to another conversation, a lot of prayer, a lot of thinking, a lot of discussion. Pat, where's Pat? Pat, full-on agnostic, when I met him. And he was proud of it. His wife, Lori, one day thought she was calling a different church in our community, but instead, by mistake, dialed our church, and I answered the phone. She was asking about the service, and we started talking about what was going on in her life. She said, man, my husband's an agnostic, and I just want Jesus, for him to have Jesus. I want him to be all about Jesus. And so she set up a time to have me come over. You probably weren't happy about that. To talk to her agnostic husband about the things of God and all his doubts. And at some time in the process, she was able to drag him to our church up in Thousand Oaks at the time where I was pastoring. And the Sunday he walks in, I was playing banjo. And you know how often I get to play banjo in church. But, you know, even now he'll say, you had me at banjo. And and that was we had a great conversation. And God was working upstream in so many ways in his life and in my life. And at that meeting, I said to him one time, I said, during that conversation, I looked at him because I found out he was a music guru. He worked for Disney, writing songs for Disney. I mean, he was a yo-cat. And I said to him, it wasn't thought through. God didn't say this. I don't know why I said it. I looked at him. I go, you know, Pat, I can see one day you actually being a pastor of worship in a church. And what did you do, Pat?
I laughed really loud.
He laughed and laughed and laughed. And God always has the last laugh. And I remember saying at one point, I don't know why I said this. I mean, how long did it take you to come to Christ?
2 years.
2 years, people praying. And so we started having him play bass in our worship band. And people were praying for him, and he's getting him books to read, and he was reading, you know, Mere Christianity and all that kind of stuff. And I think one day I said, man, the day you pledge your life to Jesus and get baptized, I will do a handstand. And as you can tell, I don't do handstands. I didn't do them back then. I don't do them now, but I did one. I think with some help. The day he got baptized. Why? And then, when God called me to plant the church, God put it on my heart to ask Pat, would he be a part of the team? And he's working the Disney music, making a nice big salary, and yet God was stirring a holy dissatisfaction, a holy unrest in his mind, in his life, because God was working upstream in his life, and he knew how much longer he could do that. And then he said yes, and that was a long time ago. And it's an amazing thing. God works upstream all the time. And many of you can attest to that very thing in your own life, correct? In fact, in Joshua chapter 4, now skip over, we end with this. We're going to have a time of response, communion. But the last thing I want you to look at is the next chapter over, Joshua chapter 4, in verses 20 through 24. Here's where you see Joshua commanding the people to build a memorial of stones as a public testimony of what God had done for them. Stones that would remind them to keep on keeping on, trusting God, working for God, serving God, loving God. And whether you and I realize it or not, God has placed stones of remembrances in the midst of our world today as well. And the best memorial stones are these. Write this down. You and me. God calls us to be memorial stones to his work and his power and his grace. Peter talks about that in chapter 2 when he says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house." The band's going to come up. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads if you need to, just to block out any distractions. We're going to move into a time of response. Hello? We're going to move into a time of response where communion's available, where people are going to be ready to pray for you on the sides of this room if you have a need like that. Maybe today some of you need to get up and place a foot in the water that's a flood stage. Because God's calling you to obey him, and it's scary to do that. Or you got this problem that you think is insurmountable. You think it's a problem you can't overcome. But guess what? All things are possible. All things are possible with God. If God be for you, who can be against you? And would you just surrender your life to him? If you've never done that, would you just say, "Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I want to give you my life today. I'm done running. I'm done hiding. I'm done just spending my time and energy on myself. I want to invest in your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Would you just pray with me right now? Father in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness. Faithful you are, faithful you will ever be. Lord, as we come to this time to remember what you've done in our lives, we can't help but remember the greatest thing you've done is sending your son, Jesus Christ, to take all our stuff, all our sin, all our rebellion, all our wrongdoing upon himself. The perfect, unblemished one took on our imperfection and our blemishes and our ugliness when he died on our place on the cross, so that we might live lives of freedom and hope and grace and mercy. God, thank you for Jesus. May he be exalted in this place, not just today, not to the last, just over the last 20 years, but totally every day, every year that you grant us into the future. May we be found faithful. May we hear from your lips one day, "Well done, you good and faithful servants." And so as we think about Jesus, we will think, right? As we think about Jesus, we will think. In fact, one name a church has for the communion time is the Eucharist, which simply in Greek means the thanksgiving. And that's what we should do when we come before the Lord. And so let's get on your knees, get it, stand up, sit down, talk, pray with somebody. But we're going to give you a few moments. For many of you want to visit one of the stations that are placed around this room to take the bread and the juice that represents the body and blood of Jesus given for us. And you're going to have some moments of just some music to do that, if that's what God's calling you to do, to remember him today. So, Father, again, we just thank you for this day. May you be honored in us and through us in every way possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.